Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. As most of you know, it's been an incredibly volatile period for stocks. Moments after the U.S. stock market opened last Monday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged nearly 1,100 points. That's a four-digit decline that is enough to jolt even the most blasé of investors. Then only minutes later, the market launched a furious comeback as investor sentiment shifted on a dime, and within 3 hours, the market erased most of its losses. But the rally ran out of gas and the Dow ended down 588 points or 3.6%, which was its eighth worst point drop in history. At the end of the day, the Dow was down 13.3% from its record high of 18,312 set on May 19th. Now that's well within what Wall Street calls a correction, which is a loss of 10 to 20% from a recent high. And these declines wiped out $2.2 trillion of U.S. stock market value. Some pretty big numbers, but in the scheme of things, not so daunting, really. Then last Tuesday, we saw more volatility. Stocks initially jumped and then faltered and whipsawing, and then the Dow went from a 442-point gain to end at 205 in the red after a brutal six-day losing streak. But after weighing everything, Wall Street concluded that conditions were not as dire as some may have thought, and buyers poured into the U.S. stock market on Wednesday, sending prices soaring to their best overall one-day gain in nearly 4 years and snapping a week of punishing declines as investors gobbled up suddenly cheaper shares. The Dow surged 619 points on Wednesday, that's nearly 4%, and that's the best advance on a percentage basis since November of 2011. Stocks also closed sharply higher on Thursday, with the Dow up 2.3% on surprisingly positive GDP report, which showed a surge in orders for durable goods such as cars and appliances in July. And that suggests that our economy remains on a firm upward footing and that the manufacturing sector may be digging its way out of its malaise it endured during the first half of the year. The gains followed reports of increases in U.S. consumer confidence and new home sales earlier in the week. So some brave investors were also lured back in by sharply lower stock prices, with more people asking, should I buy rather than should I sell? But then really the statistics came out a few days later, and it looks like individuals had pulled money out of the market at the very worst time, pulling out, according to Bank of America Merrill Lynch, $29.5 billion, including $19 billion in just 1 day. Pretty unbelievable. So most pundits believe that the global plunge in stocks was triggered by China's move about 2 weeks ago to devalue its currency. Although Beijing said the action was in line with a policy change to make its exchange rate more market-driven, and a lot of people I've talked to agree with that, by the way. Many analysts, though, took the announcement as an indication that the Chinese economy was slowing more sharply than previously thought. That seems to be true as well. Then those fears intensified on economic reports from China showing a worse than expected decline in exports and industrial production and a plunge in the China stock market, which exacerbated worries about the Chinese government's inability to manage its financial market and economy. Now, investors have good reason to be concerned about a sharp slowing in China's growth because China is the world's second largest economy behind the United States. And it's been a major engine of global growth over the last decade. And China is also the biggest trading partner for most countries in Asia, though really not for us. You know, but according to our research at United Capital, exports to the U.S., U.K., France, and Spain account for less than 1% of our GDP. This means that a slowdown in China really won't have much effect on developing world economies. And only 12 out of the 502 stocks in the S&P 500 derive more than 10% of their earnings from China. So I don't think it's going to have that much of effect, as people say, but it will have a big effect on the Asian countries surrounding and that trade similarly to China. Now, some analysts say that the Federal Reserve is partly to blame for the steep decline in stocks since Wednesday of last week, because the minutes of the Fed's last meeting showed that the central bank was deeply divided as to whether to begin raising interest rates in September, as many were expecting. So that jury is out. We will see whether they, in fact, do continue with a raise in September or whether they move it back to December, which a lot of people are currently thinking. The bottom line is that no one really knows, and that it seems pretty apparent that computer trading had a lot to do with the violent swings. To paraphrase Mark Cuban's comments the other day, he said human beings just can't move a market so much in milliseconds. Only computers can. And I think he's right about that. So the sharp correction left investors facing at least two questions. When the market soared from its opening plunge on Monday, was that a sign of underlying strength and attractive stock values that could mean higher prices ahead? Or was it really just a temporary upswing that Wall Street coarsely calls a dead cat bounce? And if you've never heard of that, there's this old saying, you know, that even dead cats bounce. So, you know, it's pretty coarse, but that is what people say. So if it was in fact just that, one that often involves traders buying stocks simply to cover short sales and other technical reasons, the question really is whether this is the beginning of something more serious or not. So what does it mean for the U.S. economy? At this point, few experts are predicting that these market jitters will derail the U.S., especially since the U.S. is now in a six-year-long economic expansion. Analysts point out that fewer Americans today own stocks than during the 2008 financial crisis, which I don't think is such a great thing. And corporate America has a lot of cash in hand as many companies reaped a string of record profits throughout and during the recovery. This latest bout of market turmoil has raised the odds that the Federal Reserve will delay its plans to raise its benchmark interest rate next month. The good news, though, is that experts are not worried about China's market problems and that they will trigger a global financial crisis like the Lehman Brothers collapse did in 2008. Beyond that, many analysts believe that China's economic growth, while slowing, won't tumble into a hard landing because although China's manufacturing sector is struggling with a lot of excess capacity, its service industry is doing rather well, and problems have eased in the country's overheated real estate sector, too. So, in summary, this correction was long overdue. It was no great surprise. I think it did a good job of gently tapping the market's brakes and reminding investors that earning inflation-beating returns over time has a cost. And that cost is volatility and uncertainty. In other words, risk. And over the course of American history, long-term investors have been amply rewarded for the risk they have taken.
You're listening to On the Money with Certified Financial Planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.